Chapter 2, the book of Revelation then, chapter 2 and the verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I want to speak tonight about a personal glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven letters from him who is the first and the last, from him who is the living one, even from him who is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven letters from heaven all commence in a similar way. They all commence with the Lord Jesus Christ giving a personal glimpse of himself to the churches. That stands out. Now, by a personal glimpse, I mean, first of all, he personally gives it himself. And secondly, he gives it to each church personally. So the church receives itself a personal glimpse, and he himself personally gives it. In chapter 1, Jesus appears to John. We've seen that vision. John saw him, and John describes him, and he wrote it all down. And of course, the churches have their written description of Christ and all that John saw, and they can study that out of chapter 1. But that is not enough. The Lord wants to highlight to each church certain aspects of himself. He wants to underline some part of the description of himself, and the underlining is different for each church. Every church gets a different glimpse of Christ from Christ. Every church gets a unique and personal picture of Jesus Christ. He kind of comes along and gives each congregation their own pocket photo. That's the first thing he does. He hands out a photo of himself. And the photo for each church is different. There are seven personal photographs, one for each church. And he gives each church that right at the start. It's as if the Lord is saying, I'm going to say some things to you, congregation. I'm going to say some things about you. But before I do, here is a personal photo of me for you to have. That's the first thing I want you to have. And so there are seven photos given right at the start for each church. Chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the photograph he gives them, of him holding the seven stars in his right hand, and walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the picture they get in Ephesus. And then in chapter 2, verse 8, Smyrna, they get a different picture right at the start. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's the picture they get. They get the picture of Christ as the first and the last, who was dead and now is alive. That's the personal photograph that Smyrna gets. And then Pergamos, in verse 12 of chapter 2, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And so that's the picture that they get of the Lord Jesus in Pergamos, him having the sharp sword with the two edges, their own personal photo of Jesus. The other churches didn't get that photo, but Pergamos did. That's the photo that they needed. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, Sardis, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." That's the photo they get. He's holding and possessing the seven spirits of God and the seven stars as well. And then Philadelphia, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth." They get the photograph of the holy and true Savior with the key of David. That's the personal photo they get. And they need that photo in Philadelphia. And then in chapter 3, verse 14, Laodiceans. Oh, they need to see the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that's the personal glimpse that they get of Jesus Christ. And you see how it comes right at the very start of each letter? So you see a picture of Christ at the very commencement of the reading of the letter each church receives. A biblical, Holy Spirit-inspired picture of Jesus. Now, of course, those are really the only pictures of Jesus which we allow in the Reformed Church. We don't encourage artist impressions of Christ. We don't desire imaginary portraits of Christ's humanity and how people think that he looked. But just the word pictures of the Bible, just the word pictures that the Lord himself gives, those are the photographs and the portraits that we desire. And those pictures and glimpses suffice us. We're not talking, of course, about a physical glimpse of Jesus, but a spiritual glimpse, a glimpse of him by faith. You remember how Peter said, "Whom having not seen," we can't see him truly in his humanity, "having not seen, but we love him, and we see him by faith, and we believe on him, and we are capable of having joy unspeakable and full of glory through that glimpse." So I want to ask, why does the Lord do this? Why does he hand out a picture of himself to each church at the very start? Well, there are at least two reasons. Two reasons at any rate that I want to deal with tonight and touch on. And the first is this, that he is our dear and precious Lord, and he comes first. In all things, he has the preeminence. He's not going to put out pictures of other things. He's going to show us pictures of our heart and pictures of our works. But at the very start, he hands out a picture of himself. Because he's first. He's first and foremost. Thus, these things saith he that is holy. So you can see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's putting himself first. He's putting himself in the limelight. Now, what would you feel if I come into the church and before I got into the pulpit, I handed out portraits of myself, pictures of myself? Here's me, and look where I've been, and look what I've done, and I give you portraits. That would be self-promotion, wouldn't it? I'd be giving myself preeminence. I'd be exalting myself. But it's perfectly fine for Jesus to come in, and the first thing he does is hand out a portrait of himself. Because he's first. In all things, he has the preeminence. And so, as I say, he will commend each church. He will rebuke each church. He will hand out other kinds of photographs. But they don't come first. He comes first. That's what the church needs, to put Jesus Christ first. How can there be a church where Christ is not first and foremost and preeminent? The Lord is not standing in the midst of Jewish synagogues. Those seven candlesticks are not Jewish synagogues. The Jewish synagogue has put Christ out. The Jewish synagogue has said that Jesus Christ is not first in here. Now, I'm not against Jews, and I'm not anti-Jewish by any means. I love Jewish people. I desire their conversion to the Messiah, and I will defend their properties and persons as I would any fellow man. But we have to say the Jewish synagogue is not Christian. Christ is not first in it. But the Christian synagogue is. The Christian synagogue is a church. And what makes it a church? Jesus Christ is first in it. He has all the preeminence in his house. The crucified one. That's why the preachers in the Christian church say we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the first in all things that he might have preeminence. And so he comes first. And we come here every week. Why? Why do we come here? To see him. To see our Lord. We come here to worship the Father through him. We come here to be edified by him through his word and by his Holy Spirit. So that's why the Lord starts off with himself. For he is our Lord. Remember how the psalmist put it? So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. And worship thou him. And so he comes and he starts off with himself and he gives us a glimpse of himself. The very first thing, brethren and sisters. But then there is another reason. And it's a very practical reason, really. He first and foremost gives a glimpse of himself because, you see, that is the very thing that we need. Every meeting, we need that. We need the Lord just to give us that personal glimpse of himself. That's the very thing that we need. And we can't do without that. We need it. And whenever the assembly came to Ephesus, and the word of God was read out that day from this new book that had arrived, and they were reading their first letter and they were receiving it, and the very first thing that they were learning was that Jesus holds the seven stars and he walks in the midst of all the candlesticks. And they just got a glimpse of their Lord. That's what they needed at that particular time. And we need it too, brethren and sisters. We need to see the Lord. We can't do without it. Even Moses needed it. And Moses was a great and mighty man. But he said to the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, don't take me up. Don't bring me out anymore unless you go with me. And I need to see you. I need to see your glory, Lord. And what did the Lord say? I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. You see, he just got a word picture. He can't see God. But he got a word picture. I will proclaim my name before you. You only see God in the word. The Lord, gracious and merciful. So he had to get a glimpse of his Lord. And the Lord gave him that glimpse. I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And that's what we need in the church every day, every Sabbath that we meet. And that vision of God that Moses received kept him going. I mean, Moses had the hardest pastorate in all time. He had the biggest congregation, for a start. He had the most difficult and stubborn people. It was full of murmuring and bickering and all kinds of problems. But how did he keep going? He endured as seeing him. who is invisible. It was a glimpse of the Lord that kept him going. That's why he didn't give up. That's why he didn't throw the towel in and give the people up. No. And he had opportunity to give them up as well. The Lord said, I'll destroy them and I'll make of you a great nation, Moses. That might have been tempting in a difficult congregation. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it because he got a glimpse of the Lord, and that kept him going. Kept him going. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. It's the only thing that makes us endure, brethren and sisters. It's the only thing that motivates us, that stirs us up, a glimpse of Christ. And that's why he does this. This is what the churches need. This is how they're going to endure in this world of tribulation. This is how they're going to continue. And so this is what this has to come first. Before we can even hear the commandments, before we can even receive the rebuke, the Lord's going to rebuke some of these churches. He's going to give them some of them commandments, but they're not going to be able to do those commandments, and they're not going to be able to take that rebuke unless they see Christ. Unless they get us a glimpse of Jesus that motivates their heart. And that's why Jesus starts off with that. He gives them a beautiful picture of himself to stir their hearts. It's the only thing that will move us. Now, many a preacher has gone down the road of trying the rod and doing the rebuking and giving the shouting, but it never works. And it doesn't take a preacher long to find that out. It's the sight of Christ. It's the only thing that will move you and stir you. And Jesus knows that. And he gives it out, these pictures of himself. So we can't really change, you see, unless we see the Lord. It is only the only thing that changes us, a glimpse of Christ. You remember how Paul said that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the commandments, the rebukes. No. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. It's only when you see the Lord that you're changed. That's the only thing that will really change us. Getting a glimpse of this glory, seeing him. And when we see him, there's a change that takes place. And that's why he hands out these photos of himself in the churches. That's what made Moses' face shine, wasn't it? He got a glimpse. He didn't even know that his face shone. He came down from the mountain. He didn't know that the skin was shining. And then he put the veil on. Remember how the psalmist put it? There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, let your face shine upon us. Let's see your face, Lord. That's what the psalmist wanted. A glimpse of the Lord. It's the only thing that deepens the joy, brethren and sisters. It's the only thing that gives us a joy that endures. Now, I'm not talking about a fleeting joy. You know, the joy of that the man in the pub gets. I'm talking about a joy that even in tribulation is abiding with you. And that only comes from getting a glimpse of Christ. Do you remember how the disciples, how he appeared to the disciples, and he showed unto them, he's given them a picture. He showed unto them his hands and his feet. He showed them his hands and his feet. Look, he says. My hands and my feet, the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You see what brought the joy? It was seeing him. It was him showing himself, giving the photos out of his hands and feet. Oh, they were so glad when they saw the... This is why he comes to the churches. Remember how he said in the upper room, we had looked at it, Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. I'm coming again. I'll visit you again. I'll send you a comforter, and your heart shall rejoice, and no man shall take your joy from you. I'll visit you again. I'll see you once more. Wasn't that what the poet William Cowper needed? You know, William Cowper, he was given to serious bouts of depression, very deep and very serious depression. And some of his poetry was written at that time. And you know that one that we sometimes sing in the Christian church. Where is that blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Where is it? I'm depressed. I'm in the depths. I know the thing that lifts me up. I know the thing that fills me with joy unspeakable. A view of Christ, but where is it? Where is it? That's what the depressed man needs. He needs a view of Christ. A soul-refreshing view of Jesus. His dear friend, the Reverend John Newton, also had the poetic gift. And he also, in poetic fashion, described what transformed his madness. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. You see, what stopped his madness? What stopped his wild career? A new object came into view. Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord. He was saved. Such a glimpse is the only thing that will melt us, brethren and sisters. It's the only thing that will humble us. It's the only thing that will make us kind and merciful like Jesus. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. It's the only thing that fills us with praise and appreciation. Just seeing the Lord. Christian poetry is full of this vital thing. That hymn, O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He'll lead you gently with loving hand. Never lose sight of Jesus. You need that glimpse. You can't be without that glimpse. And when you come to church, you must expect your Lord to start the very meeting, the very sermon, and the whole way through the sermon to be giving you a glimpse of him. We preach not ourselves, therefore, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You need a glimpse of him. When you are tempted to go astray, never lose sight of Jesus. Press onward, upward the narrow way. Never lose sight of Jesus. Though dark the pathway may seem ahead, never lose sight of Jesus. Lo, I am with you, his word hath said. Never lose sight of Jesus. When death is knocking at the door, never lose sight of Jesus. Till safe with him on the golden shore, never lose sight of Jesus. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, keep considering him. And so the Lord Jesus hands out these photos. You see, he knows what this is what the churches need. I mean, Smyrna Look what Smyrna is going to have to go through in verse 10. You're going to suffer some things, he tells Smyrna. The devil is going to come, and he's going to cast some of you into prison. Did you know the devil can do that? He can cast you into a prison. He can get you into bondage. In fact, there are some Christians tonight, and they're in bondage. Not a prison wall built by, you know, the government, but they're in bondage in their mind. The devil has cast them into prison, and they're in bondage. And these people in Smyrna are going to be cast into prison, and they're going to be tried, and they're going to have tribulation for a number of days. And so he hands out the photograph to them at the very start. They need a glimpse of Christ. They need a glimpse of Christ that will get them through that imprisonment and bring them out of that bondage and sustain them through that tribulation of many days. And so Jesus hands them out the photograph. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now that's the very photograph they need. To know that he's been through death. To know that he's been in the depths. To know that he's been in the prison house of death itself. To know that he who is the first and the last, has been there. And he's come through it. And is alive. The victor. The conqueror. The one who will be with them when they go down into the prison house. Even should it be the prison house of death itself. It's the very picture that they need. The Lord knows a glimpse of him that we need. So you see then the wisdom of what Jesus is doing here. He knows what we need most, and he knows how to give that personal glimpse of himself. And that's what he does. And that's what he does, I trust, in our assembly. When we meet here, meeting by meeting and week by week, in the preaching of the word, it's what we anticipate and what we desire. Just to see the Lord, just to get a glimpse of our Savior, he will first and foremost show us himself for our good and our encouragement. We must expect it, brethren and sisters. We certainly must seek it. I'm in the poetic strain tonight, and I have quoted quite a few bits of poetry. But that expression, cheer thou our waiting sight, we long for thee. Ah, cheer thou our waiting sight. We're waiting, Lord. Our eyes are open with expectancy. Oh, cheer thou our waiting sight. We long for thee. A glimpse of thee, Lord. Show us thy glory. And so we should pray like Moses. And we must be like those Gentiles who came to the first Christian gospel preachers. They came to those apostles and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Show us the Lord Jesus. And that's a great thing to say to preachers. And that's what you expect here every week of your preacher. And you can say it. Show us Jesus. Give us a glimpse of Christ. And that's the business that every minister of the gospel is in. Just collecting these photos of our dear Lord and endeavoring by his grace to display them to the congregation. You expect it. You should pray for it. You should ask for it. You should seek it. What did David say? I have set the Lord always before me. That's a good thing to do. He always wants to see the Lord in his view. I like the way Peter puts it in his quoting of that psalm in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter puts it this, I foresaw the Lord always. I foresaw the Lord always. I like that interpretation of David's expression. I foresaw the Lord always. I foresaw him in the pictures in the Old Testament. I foresaw him in the types. I foresaw him in the prophecies. I foresaw him in the promises. Everywhere I could see a glimpse of Christ, I foresaw him. I set him before me. I couldn't do without a glimpse of my Lord. And so, every day we need that glimpse. And that enabled David to be steadfast. Because he said, I shall not be moved. You get a glimpse of the Lord, and you'll never be moved. Never. The devil won't move you. The world won't move you. The ungodly won't move you. Just you get a glimpse of him. You'll endure. You'll be steadfast. You'll get through the tribulation. It's what we need. It's what the backslider needs. A glimpse of Christ. It's what the cold in heart need to see the Lord. It's the cure, the only cure for all our spiritual ailments. Seeing Jesus Christ, the Savior, giving us a glimpse of himself. And so you see now, why, this is the very first thing he does in every church. Hands out a photo of himself. And when you come here every Lord's Day and every meeting, brethren and sisters, you pray this, that that preacher has a picture of Jesus Christ to set before you.